Well, good morning, everybody. If you're new, my name is Michael. I haven't been up here the last two Sundays, and I want to thank Tony, number one, for covering for me and taking care of the word the last 2 weeks. Our son got married, and then I got sick. So I planned one off and then had to take another off. But I am I'm back. I feel 100%. We'll see how it turns out. My wife asked me yesterday, she said, "Do you remember how to do this?" I said, "We'll see tomorrow. We'll see how it turns out." But I am very excited to share this word with you today, and I'm very glad that you are here. We've got some visitors with us that have come back from last week. So if you didn't get a chance to meet them, please do so afterwards and take some time after the service and just show everybody it's good to see each other. It's good to be here. I'm glad that the Lord gave you enough strength to get here. Let's enjoy some of the fellowship that He has blessed us with. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we will get into the scriptures today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And Lord, your holy scriptures and the songs that we get to sing today, Father, we recognize the gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ, your Son. And I pray as we study together, Lord, my hope is that you open our eyes more clearly to who you are. And Father, knowing you, we pray that that will be all the motivation we need to live our lives faithfully, to trust you in all situations, to stay away from temptation and sin, to shine your light and glorify you with all that we have. Father, we can't do these things on our own. So we ask that you help us do them. We pray through Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these last 2 weeks, I've been thinking about Jesus. I hope I'm not the only one, but I've been thinking about Jesus. And really, some of the things that we're going to go into, and some of the things that we're going to take a look at, is I've been thinking specifically about the relationship between Jesus the Son and God the Father, and how that affects the identity of who Jesus is and what that means for all of us. So, earlier this year, we did kind of an Old Testament dive. We took a look at all the Hebrew names of God to notice His character better. And then we've been talking about faith. And what we're going to do is we are going to take a look at, well, really, this is where I'm coming from. Is Jesus God? That's the question we're going to be answering over the next several Sundays. Is Jesus God? Now, that's going to lead us to some of His own words and what He says about Himself. It's going to lead us to some of the words of the epistles and the letters of what Paul and Peter said about Jesus. It's going to lead us, and we're going to get into some of the titles that, just like we did for God in the Hebrew, we're going to take a look at some of the titles used for Jesus in the New Testament Greek to help us better understand and appreciate who Jesus is. Now, this is a very important question. This is a very important question, because of the three major religions in the world. There's three. If you're not aware, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, three major world religions. We are distinct from the other two, and I don't know how much contact you come in with the other two, but they have different beliefs about who Jesus is. And I've been listening. I've been paying attention. And if you're not careful, one of them is very convincing and growing at a weed's pace. So I want you to not be ignorant about who Jesus is. And again, I'm not insulting. I'm not trying to tear anybody down. I just want you to be ready. Because if we understand who Jesus is, number one, it's necessary for our salvation. Because God has put salvation through Jesus. But I also want you to be able to have a conversation. I want you to be able to talk to other people. I want you to be able to stand up and proclaim what it is that we believe. What it is that you believe. I say we, not, hey, well, you know, this is what they teach at Sunrise. No. You just say, hey, this is what the Bible teaches. But I want you to know it. I want you to know it. So that's where we're headed. We're going to start this morning in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, and you know, this is how a lot of the Gospels go. Jesus does something, and then in doing something, that leads to him saying something. So in John chapter 5, Jesus does something. He heals somebody. Now, usually, just someone coming along and showing power and fixing somebody who's broken, that's usually a pretty good thing, right? But Jesus always went, it seems he always went out of his way to fix something broken in such a way as to cause controversy, right? I mean, it's, he can't just quietly going along going, oh, you got the sniffles? Beep. Broken leg? Got you. Now, he tried to do some of these things in quiet. Remember, a lot of times he would heal people and say, don't tell anybody. And of course they would. He would, some people, you remember the man, that he healed from all the demons? Said, let me come with you. I want to come. He goes, no. You just go tell your family. And that man sharing it with the family just spread the gospel through an entire region. So you remember these things from the gospels that we studied all last year. But this story, Jesus heals a man, but he heals him on the Sabbath. And that causes problems. But those problems Jesus uses to make a great conversation about just exactly who he is. So I wanted to start here today. John chapter 5, we're going to pick it up in verse 14. So this is after the miracle, and it's going to lead into a nice little sermon. John chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Well, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Which leads to his words in red. Verse 19. So, Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and it's now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. All right. So, God's people, the Jews, are threatening the life of Jesus because he is not just a messenger from God. Now, when you think about messenger from God, this word, what we've translated into an angel, it means messenger. The general idea, I mean, this could be a physical or a spiritual being, but we think of angels or prophets. Those were God's messengers, right? And you can remember the Old Testament prophets, and you remember the stories, or if you've seen the, I don't know, if you've seen the Veggie Tales. Jonah was my favorite. Jonah was a prophet. There we go. We're singing it. Now you're with me. If you have not seen this, YouTube or whatever. YouTube the Jonah Veggie Tales. It's fantastic. When we think of messenger, we think of one sent by God to share a message directly from God to his people. But Jesus takes it a little bit further. And not only does he have a message from God, but he says, I am the Son of God. So I'm not just a messenger, we're family. I'm kind of a big deal in his house and in his family. Well, of course, this just drives people crazy. You can't say this. This is blasphemy. Okay? If you just came along and said, you know, God spoke to you and you brought a good word from God, and we thought, oh, okay, we know what prophets look like. We can handle that. We would test you. We would ask about your teaching, which is exactly what they did with Jesus. We'll even take a look at your signs and your miracles. Can they be proven? Do we have witnesses? But Jesus takes it a step further, and he says, look, this whole Sabbath thing, yeah, you remember back in creation, you remember what the Sabbath was? God rested. God made everything in how many days? Six. And then on day seven, he went, chill. Right? And so Jesus says, that's how my Father works. He made everything in 6 days, and then he took a break. And then he says, and now I am working. Whew. Oh, whoa. Now, if this was just a normal guy, if this was just a preacher or a prophet or someone sent by God, this is not good. And what's this? Your Father, right? What is this? Now, why is this so dangerous? Why is this so dangerous? Well, and again, we'll get into these things. So we're gonna unpack slowly, because this is a series of lessons. This is not a, you'll be thankful to hear, it's not a one Sunday, not a 1 week thing. It's a lot of material. A lot of material, but in Jesus calling God, the Creator, his own Father, he is saying, we are family. And fathers and sons specifically, had a special standing in relationship with their father, right? Basically, whatever was the father's belonged to the son. Now, he may have not taken control or rule over everything, and we'll get into those verses, because the Apostle Paul does a good job of talking about us as sons and daughters of God, which, that's going to blow your top. When we understand who Jesus is, it's going to help us understand who we are. And that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. So Jesus has already got the death threats. They don't like this idea, and he says, well, look, you don't have to get all bent out of shape. You just have to know and to trust I came from the Father. I'm not just some guy who was born, who's lived his life, and then one day said, well, you know what, I think I'll go around preaching about God. People need to hear. People need to know these things, right? That's not what he does. He says, look, I came from the Father. What do you mean you came from the Father? I mean, how many times do we read through the Gospels when they went, Joseph's kid, right? Isn't that Mary's boy? What is this coming from God thing, right? We know your family. I mean, some of them are here. You got brothers and sisters and cousins. And what is this? People just had a hard time wrapping their minds around this idea. And Jesus says, look, number one, it shouldn't make you nervous because I'm only going to do the things that he does. I'm only going to do what he has shown me to do. So you don't have to be nervous. If it's of God, that's what I'm going to do. And that's really the gist of what he is saying and how he gets his authority. The Son of God, the Son has the rights of the Father, and Jesus describes this relationship in such a way. He's saying, I'm not trying to take away from God. I'm not going and trying to compete against God. I'm showing you what God is bringing to you, and I'm the one that's carrying it. I'm the one that's carrying it. Now, he says a couple interesting things about the Father and himself. Verse 21. Verse 19. Here's kind of a big one. Look, I can only do what my Father does because I see what he does. Okay. How do you see what God does? Well, you got to be in his presence, right? All right. Problem one. You're claiming to be in, having been in God's presence. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem, right? Then in verse 20. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he's doing. So God has revealed what he is doing. He's not just sitting up there just going, oh, you know, what, they got their own thing going on, whatever. I made them. I gave them what they need. They'll be fine. That's not how God does. And again, even today, a lot of people just think that God is some aloof deity that's just up there doing his own thing. And again, even that leads to a wonderful kind of blasphemy that God just doesn't care. Because, you know, bad things are happening down there, down here. How can he just sit up there unaware or oblivious or not willing to make things better? Right? I mean, those are the insults that are hurled to God. Those are the reasons that people use to justify their own disbelief in God. And what Jesus says is, no, God has done something. He sent me. I'm that guy. Now, not everybody believes this. Not everybody trusts this. But this is what Jesus works so very hard to do, is to get people to understand how God is acting in this world, what he has done for all of us. And so he says, comparing himself with the Father, verse 21, the Father raises the dead and gives them life. Well, guess what? The Son gives life also. Oh, okay. We're not sure about that whole raise the dead thing. We'll get into that. But we understand how God gives life. He made everything, and you're claiming to give life also. Now, if this was me, and I just walked in here and I started making these kind of claims about myself, all of you would be pretty justified in going, who does this guy think he is? Right? If I came in here and said, oh, hey, God sent me here today for you, so you better listen up to what I say, because I'm going to give you life. Now, all of us, yeah, I know, because I see it. I see your just minds working, going, nope, not happening. But that's exactly what Jesus was doing for them. And again, it makes sense, and in their minds they're going, nope, not happening. That's not how things work. That's not how God works. Sorry, Tony. God can't do that, right? we may run into that a few times here. But Jesus says, the Father gives life, the Son gives life. Also in verse 22, guess what? The Father has given judgment to the Son. Well, judgment, that I mean, we're alive, right? You and I are enjoying and appreciating the life that God has blessed us with. I didn't cause myself to be here, right? That happened outside of me, but I'm here now. I attribute that to God, but guess what? At the end of my life, I'm going to face the judge. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, the Father has given me that. Wait, so you're the one that I have to answer to at the end of my life? That's what Jesus is telling him. The Father has given him these things. So the Son, Jesus Christ, naturally has some powers and authorities and responsibilities of just who he is, but also the Father has given him specific powers, authorities, and responsibilities. All right, so we're starting to see that this is not just some guy. What he says about himself, he's pretty important in the big picture. Let's see. Oh, and then verse 24. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So Jesus makes this wonderful, amazing claim and says, look, I didn't send myself. The Father sent me. And if you believe the one who sent me, then you're going to live. You're going to live. So what Jesus has called these first century BC Jewish followers of God, what he calls them to believe is that he comes from God, and yet they now have to accept what God has done and is doing through Jesus. This carpenter from a small town, whose parents we know, whose brothers are right over there, who is making all of these giant claims about himself. And besides, anyway, what kind of person comes from God and then breaks God's rules? How can I trust that he's from God if he's breaking God's rules? People that come from God don't break God's rules. Again, God can't do that. That's where a lot of people get in trouble. Well, a lot of people get in trouble. Let's continue on to verse 30. Verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, look, I can be trusted because I didn't just show up and I'm saying, hey, my name's Jesus, I'm from Nazareth, and here's how I think you all should live, and so here's some good ideas for you, so just do those things. Jesus is saying, no, that's not what I'm going to tell you. He says, I can be trusted because I'm giving you and bringing you the good message that my Father has for you. This is it. This is your day. This is your day, how the Creator of all things is acting on your behalf, and this is it. It's kind of like that, and again, it's kind of silly, it's kind of cliche, but you know that silly story where the guy's in the middle of a flood, and he's up on the roof, and a boat comes by and said, hey, hop on our boat and we'll get you out of here. Because, I mean, the water is just, he's sitting on his roof. I don't know, he was New Orleans or something, I'm not sure. And he said, no, it's okay, God's got me. Like, okay. They go along, someone else comes by and they got a bigger boat. Hey, we're rescuing people, come on, get in the boat. And he's like, no, God's got this, you just go take care of other people. Then a helicopter comes up, they drop down the ladder. Grab the ladder, we'll get you out of here. He said, no, I don't need your ladder. God will save me. He drowns. He stands before God and he says, God, well, why didn't you reach out? God says, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What? It's kind of one of those situations that Jesus is saying, this is what God is doing for your life. Now you have to trust it. You have to believe it. That's why you have to have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that he came from the presence of God, because that's what makes all of his words and his teaching and everything he says about himself make sense. And you have to trust that this is how God has chosen to act. This is how God has chosen for you and I to have faith in what we can't see, but has revealed himself in such a way that we can actually relate to. So we can see the story of Jesus. We can see how he interacted with people. We can hear what he said. We can see how he healed. We can see how he forgave and how he loved and how he cared. And then we get to see the Father through his actions. And we all have to make the choice. Are we going to believe this or not? Do we believe that Jesus really is from God? Do we believe that this is God's way of reaching us in our state? And everything hinges on that right there. So we'll continue. Verse 31. Look, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. If I just show up and I start saying all these crazy things, don't believe me. Don't. But, verse 32, there's another who bears witness about me. He goes, I've got witnesses. It's not just me. Not just me. And I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp. You were willing to rejoice for a while in his light, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you. For you do not believe the one whom he has sent. Verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness about me. Verse 40. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If someone else comes in his own name, well, you'll receive them. So how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So, Jesus makes this great, Steve read for us this morning, for our race, we have a great cloud of witnesses. We have witnesses. We have people watching. Okay? We have those in the presence of God who are paying attention. And Jesus says, look, the message that I'm bringing to you is life. This is life and death. How you decide about what I am giving to you matters. It's not just to take it or leave it, right? We're going to stand before our Creator and go, whatever. I mean, you can do that, but guess what? If you take it or leave it, God's going to let you have it. I mean, you are aware that Judgment Day is merely giving you everything you asked for. You either ask God to give you all those blessings he has, or you said, no, thanks God, I think I'll be all right on my own. And hell is people completely on their own. That's what it is. So he gives everyone exactly what they ask for. He's not a tyrant. We have free will. We all get to decide. But Jesus says, look, this stuff is important. It's life or death. And so I'm going to give you a list of witnesses. All these things point to me. So what were they? Well, the first one was John. He goes, you guys got a kick out of John. John shows up and he's wearing, animal clothes. I picture him in a coon skin hat. He's eating bugs and honey. I mean, John's a hoot, right? If you've watched any of the Chosen, have you seen any of the Chosen seasons? Wyatt, have you seen any of the Chosen? Oh, yeah, I know Wyatt has. John was a kick, wasn't he? I mean, he was just kind of, he was ready to go. And he just had that fervor and zeal. And Jesus was like, you guys remember John? You were all going out to the Jordan to meet John. You loved what he was preaching. Well, guess what? He was talking about me. And we'll go back and we will see what John says. This is the other John's gospel. But John's gospel, go back and read chapter 1 and 2. It talks about John the Baptist. And talks about him saying, look, this is the guy. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one you need to be following. So Jesus points to him and says, John pointed to me. In verse 36, oh hey, the works that I'm doing, the things that I am literally doing in front of your eyes, no one can do these things. This is God's power. Right? There's a whole reason he's in trouble in chapter 5. He meets a guy. Half his body doesn't work. Jesus says, get up, and he does. Right? I mean, all these stories of, I don't know what you're most impressed by the authority of Jesus. Everything belongs to Jesus. We read it in Colossians at the table this morning. It's all his. He was there in the making of it all. He rules over it all, and it's all coming back to him. It was all made through him and by him and for him. So it should not come as a surprise when he says to a body in which he has authority over, get up. It's not any more surprising when he talks to the storm and says, stop it. It's not any more surprising when the demons are just having their way inside a person's body and he says, get out. Jesus has all the authority that he needs. So we pay attention. So whether he's fixing a body, healing of sickness or demon possession, or whether he's talking to the storms, or whether he's telling Lazarus to come out of there, or he's telling a servant, hey, wake up. All of these things, the works, point to the fact that this is not just some guy. This is not just some messenger of God who was just shown up and says, hey, you guys ought to pay attention to me. God has something important that he wants you to hear. Jesus says, this is life and death. God is providing life for you. And the things, the power that I have to accomplish these things, these just show that what I'm saying is true. Verse 37, he says, look, the Father himself broke through. You remember what happened when Jesus himself is baptized? And again, why is Jesus baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. But what happened when he comes out of the water? I'm thinking of two major things. That's right. What was the other major thing? Thank you. The dove comes down, the Holy Spirit, and then God breaks through and says, that's my boy. Listen to him. And again, he takes three of them up on the mount. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Who shows up? God shows up. That's my boy. And a lot of people are like, ooh, it's thunder. Ooh. And Jesus says, look, God's speaking. You may not understand it, but the Father himself is speaking. I hear him. If you don't hear him, that's on you. I mean, church, is that not our daily existence? God speaks, our ears perk up, right? Hey, that's from God. And how many people just go through and are just like oblivious? Yeah, you better be listening. You better be paying attention. So he says the Father points to him, and then verse 39, you look at your Bible. Guess what? I'm the one it's talking about. Everything that you see in my life, that's what the Bible was pointing to. And then in 45, you guys make a big deal about Moses. Well, guess what? Moses was talking about me. So he lists all these witnesses. So he's not just coming out of nowhere and just claiming all these crazy things. He says, you've got plenty of evidence. He says, if you don't believe what I'm saying to you to try to save you, to try to save you from dying, I mean, I'm throwing a life preserver out here. Then listen to these other witnesses. If Moses is what you respect, listen to Moses. If it's the Bible, if it's the scrolls that you say, no, this is how God speaks to us, then read them. If you're enamored by the power and the signs, hello. That guy's walking He wasn't this morning. He is this afternoon. What are you looking for? Jesus says, I'll point to all of it because it all points to me. It all points to me. And he is here to do the Father's will. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Josh read for us this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, listen up. Listen up. Now, I don't know if you're one of those, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we heard, lest we drift away from it. Pay attention, people. Listen. Listen to the message of Jesus. Why? What's the danger? If you don't hold on to it, if you don't listen to it, what can happen to you? You can get further and further away from it. You know this to be true, right? You ever know anybody that was here and is now not here? Yeah, happens all the time. You don't hold on tightly. You're the one that moves. God doesn't move. He stays put. You don't listen. You don't pay attention. You don't hold on tightly. You're the one that starts to float away. And so Hebrews 2 gives us this warning. Pay attention. Hold on to it. This is not just something. There's no casual Christians, right? We're not, Jesus is kind of cool. No, he's not kind of cool. He's the Son of God. There's not a third option. He is or he isn't. And that makes all the difference. That's everything. Well, we better pay attention because in verse 2, this message was declared by angels, proved to be reliable. Every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared by the Lord, attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. All right, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is God's way of saying, come to me. This is what I'm offering you. This is the way for you to come to me. It's through my Son. I give him to you. What do you think is going to happen to those who neglect or say no thank you to salvation? What do you think is going to happen if you don't accept the solution? You eat the consequences, don't you? Yes! Yes! Just like our guy on the roof. If you neglect the path that God has given you to salvation, you face the consequences. Alright, kids. Anybody starting school this week? A few of us? Alright, good, good. This has got nothing to do with school. Your parents ever make you a dinner that you weren't really excited about? Okay, all right, good. Now I got some hands in the air. Like, maybe that's just not your favorite meal. Like, you were expecting mac and cheese or chicken nuggets, and mom made something. What is it? Quesadillas? That's your go-to manna? What is it? Yeah. Anyone ever had to skip supper because you weren't in the mood to eat what mom was providing? Anyone ever have to do that? We know that, right? This is supper. This is what we're having. If you are hungry, here's the meal. Well, I don't want that meal. Then what happens? You go hungry, right? Here's the meal. This is what God is saying. This is directly from Hebrews chapter 2. God says, here's life. Here it is. Well, I don't want that life. Right? You chose it. If you ever went to bed hungry, anyone ever have that same plate sitting there on the table when you got up the next morning? You ever get that one? You guys get that? Yeah. Well, if it's not supper, then it can be breakfast. That will be your next meal in this house. Yeah, uh-huh. I know, we know these things, right? This is what's offered. That's what God says. My son, Jesus, this is what I'm offering you. This is how I save you. This is my salvation. I've given it to you. And if you snub your nose at it and say, nah, I don't think I want that way, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be sorry. You're going to be sad. God says, this is how I'm reaching out to you. This is how I'm saving you. This is how I am taking care of you. Well, I don't want the way you're taking care of me. Why does God get the bad reputation? He's done everything to give us life, to save us from our sins. He sent his only son. Jesus is with the Father. He comes down here. He gives his life for all of us and then says, I really want you to be with me where I'm going. It's really good. Please come. And some people said, yes, 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 thank you. And some people said, no, thank you. And everybody gets what they want. I hope in our study of Jesus and learning better who he is, what he says about himself, that you and I will fall in love all over again and look at Jesus clearly and be able to say, oh, I absolutely believe he is. He is that guy. He is God's only son. He is God's way of reaching out to me so that I could hear and see and touch and go, okay, that's real. And I want that because I want to live. I want to live. Jesus was made lower than those in God's presence. He took on flesh to be able to die for our sins on the cross. And again, I mean, the Bible teaches us. What does the Bible say about the message of the cross to the Jews and the Gentiles? To the Jews, it's what? You remember? It's a stumbling block, right? The cross was a shameful thing. And to the Gentiles, it's foolish. What? Some guy died 2,000 years ago, and you think that's where that makes the difference in where your soul's going to end up after you die? What? But to those who believe, it's the wisdom of God. It's what God gave us to hold on to. It's what God gave us to say, this is how you come to me. So this morning, if you are not in Christ, if you have not professed your belief in him, if you have not confessed your sins and your need for him, we invite you to do that. If you are still stuck in all of you and you have not proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ as what you need to get to the Father, we invite you to do so. God has shown us how to get to God. But it's up to every single one of us. He respects us enough. I mean, he's got all the power. He's got all the authority. And he respects and loves us enough to give us the choice to say, no, thank you. He's not a tyrant and he's not abusive. He will let you walk away if you want to. But I really hope you take seriously the consequences of neglecting the salvation of God. If you haven't been reading the paper, nobody reads the paper anymore. You haven't been following a news feed and you see current events that are happening around the world and you go, oh boy, can't ever get worse than this. I got three letters for you. Bet. Because it can. It probably will. And God has said, this is my way to get out of it. This is my way to survive it. This is my way to last. It's my son, Jesus Christ. So, I hope you come back. I hope you join us on this journey. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. It's going to be challenging. But you and I are going to walk out of here and go, okay, I get it. I mean, I believe, but I get it. I get it.